Today on Real Radio.
When somebody says, I'm a Christian, and their life doesn't back it up, something's wrong. They're a knockoff. Now, what Paul, I got to tell you, I got to be very careful how I bring this message across because some of you are not going to like it. How do I know? Because I don't like parts of it. And here's the reason why.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're now in chapter 3, where the apostle gets very specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart. Otherwise, they are mere men and no different than non-believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Christians Behaving Badly.
That's what Paul's concerned about to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, he said to them, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. And let each one of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, watch this, everybody, you're involved in this somewhere here, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Each one's works will become clear, for the day, that's the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Wow. Paul is talking about the Corinthian believers and their great carnality as he rebukes them. And yet at the same time, because he's a loving pastor, he rebukes them and turns right around and exhorts them. That is, he brings into their mind, into their memory, the ultimate day that's coming for the believer, that we will all as Christians stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. What's amazing is Paul is already right now starting to set them up in their thinking for something that is very, very well known to them. I told you before, this is the church at Corinth, Greece. I've told you before in the introduction that it is in Corinth that archaeological discovery has unearthed the Bema seat of the great Olympics of Greece. Bema, B-E-M-A. The word Bema in Greek means the reward platform. We've all seen the Olympics, and we've seen the gold and the silver and the bronze award, right? Each one is a winner. They all three win, but there is the one person, and I love that. Think about it. Each or all three have won. But based upon diligence and faithfulness, one person is distinguished more than the other in achievement. They're all winners, and that was the Greek thinking, is that they should all three of them be recognized as champions. But when you define it down to each one's ability, listen, church, and gifting, which one was the most faithful to the call that was given to them? So in this room this morning, you may be a silver medalist, a gold medalist. You might be a bronze medalist. Here's the point. You are to be one who gets a medal. That should be the striving passion of the believer, is that we are going to serve Christ in this great spiritual endeavor that we would please him. And so as someone went up to the Bema seat, the reward seat, notice this is not the same word that is used in Revelation 20 for the judgment seat of God. You guys, listen, you will not, if you're a Christian, you will not appear before the great white throne judgment. All those who are lost, who never came to Christ, no matter how bad or how good they were morally, if they died without Jesus, they will stand before God in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11, the great white throne judgment. They're all condemned, the Bible says there. But the Bema seat is altogether different. If you're a Christian, you will appear before the Bema seat of Christ, and you are going to receive a champion's reward based upon your faithfulness as Christians. And so I don't know what you think about this. People have their opinions about it. But when you think about church, when you think about spiritual things, Paul is really talking about many at Corinth as being what I would say today, knockoff Christians. And I don't know what you think about knockoff things. I think knockoff things are a real bummer. You know, knockoff watches. Have you ever been to Mexico and bought a Rolex for $25? And then by the time the sun sets, the fingers or the hands have fallen off of the watch? Have you ever gone to the swamp meet or fairgrounds and bought a $15 pair of Maui Jim sunglasses? And then by the time, you know, the sun goes down, the pieces have fallen apart on it. They're knockoffs. Or you see, you know, at the fair or wherever, these Gucci purses for $9.99. Something's wrong. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, and their life doesn't back it up, something's wrong. They're a knockoff. Now, what Paul, I got to tell you, I got to be very careful how I bring this message across, because some of you are not going to like it. How do I know? Because I don't like parts of it. And here's the reason why. Paul has been speaking to us about the spiritual man, we looked at that last week, and the unbeliever, the natural man. We've all studied that. There's the natural man who doesn't know God, and there's the spiritual man who does know God. And in between is this person called the carnal Christian. And we don't want to even begin to think that there could be such a thing as a carnal Christian. How can you know the eternal, true, living God and have salvation and not walk with him and be effective? And yet, it is true. There are people who are going to heaven, but their lives have never affected anybody for good. In fact, the carnal Christian has been a Christian that has been behaving badly in life. And it seems like an oxymoron. It seems like something that you can't bring together. It seems like water and oil. But it is true nonetheless. As Christians, we belong, if you like it or not, my friend, as a Christian, you belong to a community of believers. God has engineered it this way. I'm going to be real straight to you as a pastor to your heart. If you are the type of person that just floats around from church to church and you never get into the family matters of a local fellowship, the Bible would say that you're a carnal Christian. You never get into the family affair of being a committed believer to a local family of believers. As a Christian, we are to belong to a local church. That's why Jesus himself, Paul the Apostle, John, James, Peter, they all made mention and reference to the fact, and again, as I mentioned a second ago, Jesus in the book of Revelation says that he wrote seven letters to the seven churches, didn't he? And each of them were a specific city in Asia Minor called Turkey today. And Jesus speaks to a local fellowship of believers. We did a long series here in this church about what Jesus would say to the church. What's he saying to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills this morning? Whatever he's saying to those that make up this local body of believers. And listen, keep this in mind as we get into this study. there is not some super church on one side of the street and some lesser church down the street. There is not some of this church and some of that church. That's carnal. That's wrong. But there are local churches. And you say, yeah, but Pastor Jack, some of them are only a riverbed away from one another. That's ordained by God. That's God's business. And we are not to criticize and we are not to critique what God might be doing somewhere else. Now, granted, we are to judge according to the word of God. Is a local church teaching the word of God? That is the criteria. If you're visiting this morning, that's how you are to judge this fellowship. Does it exalt the word of God, the Bible? Is the Bible the foundation of this church? Is Jesus Christ the foundation that they've laid? It's not the seating, it's not the carpet, it's not the windows, it's not the parking. It's none of that stuff. Those are things that do not matter. To the believer who wants to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the truth is this, that they are hungering for the word of God and they have found a local church that challenges them, feeds them, instructs them, builds them up, and yes, is used by God to exhort. That is to even, at times, to convict. And so Paul is speaking, and his whole passion is to get this church healthy and on its way. So church, mark it down if you would. We'll look at our first point regarding Christians behaving badly. It's found in verses 1 and 2, and it's this, that they just won't grow up. That's the reason why they're behaving badly. They just won't grow up. They are people in the body of Christ, in the church, but they just don't grow up. They won't grow up. And why is that? It's because of this, verse 1, because they won't eat what they should. They don't eat good food. It's not that good food's presented or not presented. It's just that they don't eat of it. They're not partaking of it. Look at verse 1. Paul says, I, brethren, he's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ, could not speak to you. See that? He's talking to Christians. As to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So the carnal Christian is a person that's very, very weak and having a grip on the word of God. Paul says, I'd love to talk to you about deeper things, but I cannot. You've had a conversion experience. You've raised your hand. You went forward at the crusade or at church, or you prayed that prayer and you had a life change. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe he rose from the grave. You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he's coming back. And you believe that the Bible is, in fact, the word of God. But outside of that, you are very, very much what we would call a recreational type Christian. It all depends on who you're with at any given time that you let your light so shine. And this is critical. Why does that happen in our lives? Why do we faint in the moment of criticism or opposition or the moment the world comes against us and we at some moment leave behind our Christian commitment? It's because we have refused to eat the right kind of food. And that food, the empowerment, is the word of God. Paul says, I want to talk to you about the word of God deeper, but I can't do that. He says, why? He says, well, first of all, you're not spiritual. I want to talk to you, but you're not spiritual. You are, in fact, carnal. The word carnal, listen to this. The word carnal is the word in the Greek for sarx. He says, so who what? Who cares? Have you ever heard of sarcophagus? Sarx is flesh. Sarcophagus is flesh. Sarcophagus, flesh eater. That's what a sarcophagus is. Flesh eater, something that eats the flesh. Carnal is to respond to the flesh, to be obedient to the flesh, to be subservient to the flesh. Sarx, carnal, the Christian who's been born again as yet now still has its loyalties to the flesh, the demands of the flesh. Paul says, I can't talk to you about spiritually deep things because your brain, your heart, your lifestyle won't even go deeper with me. You guys, I hate to tell you this, but it's absolutely true. The reason why we have trials and difficulties in life as a Christian, if you and I knew the true glory that is in a trial, we'd actually sign up for them. You know how we, let's be honest, you know how we do everything to avoid them? The sooner we figure out that we cannot get in trouble when we follow God. When we follow God, we follow God. And when we follow God, we wind up being in places that he's ordained. And thereby, you cannot be in trouble when you follow him. You see, well, what if somebody throws rocks at me? hey, first of all, they're throwing rocks at God if you followed him. Okay, at some point you're going to duck and it's going to hit the Lord right in the robe or somewhere, and the Lord's going to come to your defense. You follow God, you don't have to worry about it. And let me tell you, be encouraged. The more you follow God, the more you're going to be criticized. The more you're going to be attacked. The more you're going to be mocked. The more you're going to be fill in the blank. Amen. The great thing is to be on God's side as you follow him. And so Paul is saying, I want you to be spiritual, but you're not. You're in fact carnal, you're fleshly. But why is that the case? Because they are caught up in the flesh, and the word means to have a fleshly existence. Their affection, the word means that their affections are divided. They have a divided heart. Imagine in a relationship, a husband and a wife, and that husband or that wife has divided affections for someone else. That is horrific. It's terrifying. It's wrong. But the truth of the matter is, my friend, the Bible tells us, for example, that God wants us to be advancing. He doesn't want us to go back to Egypt, as was the case with the children of Israel. And for us today, listen, you need to ask yourself, are you going back to Egypt in your Christian walk? Are you no longer advancing? Paul is saying, you may very well be carnal. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, he says there, 2 Timothy 2, 3, he says, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine somebody going into battle and he's got his flat screen TV with him as he heads into some battle zone? Can you imagine some guy going into a war theater and he's pulling behind him a wagon full of his Xbox and NASCAR models or whatever he's got? I don't know what he's got, but you don't take your toys to battle. And you don't drag your private life, Paul is saying, into the things that God's enlisted you into. God becomes so prominent in your life that you understand, I'm a Christian soldier, as it were, in the spiritual warfare of this battle, and I'm going to let God dictate what's valuable in my life. So listen, the thing is that we suffer when we do not eat what we should be eating, and that is the Word of God should be eaten up in our lives. A couple Wednesday nights ago, actually maybe like a month ago now, I gave a challenge to the Wednesday nighters to read slowly over the course of 30 days the book of Philippians. I challenged the Wednesday night group to get up 1 hour early in their mornings before they start their day and to read the book of Philippians and to see what happens in 30 days. And I've been hearing people tell me what's happening to their lives over the last 30 days already. They're not even, I think, completed the 30 days. God's word is radicalizing their life to the glory of God. They are excited. They're getting answers to their prayer life, they're telling me. They've seen God reward them for their commitment to him. Secondly, under this point, it's not that they just wouldn't eat what they should be eating. They won't grow up because they don't have a very good diet. They choose to eat junk. They're babes in Christ. They're stunted. The word means that their development has been retarded. He says, I fed you with milk, and milk's great for a season. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. The word receive it, they spit it up. And even now you're still not able. You're still spitting it up. So first of all, mark this down, Bible student. It's kind of fun to know this. What is the milk that Paul is referring to, and what's the meat? Well, it's understood this way, that the milk is the doctrinal things of the earthly ministry of Jesus. I gave you milk. Listen, Christian, if you're a Christian this morning, the doctrinal milk of the ministry of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry are things that should be extremely well known to you. Hang on to your seat. Listen carefully. Do you name the name of Jesus? Do you say you know him? If the answer to that is yes, then you ought to be able to lead someone else to Christ. You should know how to do that. That's why we have the call ministry here to teach you how to do that. If you are the most fresh, new believer, you ought to know the difference between heaven and hell and how to get there. You should know the difference as to how is a person saved? Based upon what does God save a man or a person or how? These are fundamental things. Do you know that there are fundamental truths to being a Christian that if you don't know, you're not really a Christian? There are fundamental truths. Do you know how and do you know why Jesus had to be virgin born? that Mary had to be a virgin. The Old Testament demands it. Why? These are basic things. Did you know that you must be baptized into the body of Christ? I didn't say water. That's a step of obedience, and that's a beautiful thing. But how does a person get baptized into the body of Christ? You should know the difference. When does that happen? These are fundamental things that are basic to Christianity. That's the milk. John 3:16, that's milk, basic. What's the meat? The meat is the practical doctrines of life. What does that mean? The meat is this. I'm having anger thoughts. Where do I go in the Bible to find that? I need to get a decision from God about my job. I need to know where to go in the Bible to find the instruction on that. When somebody comes and shares something with you, you turn to the Bible and you give them the answer. Everything, listen, Christian, everything that you and I do, there should be a biblical dialogue going on with one another. That is the spiritual man. That is the person. When we get together and talk, we dialogue. If Kevin and I are going to talk, this should be a dialogue based upon Scripture. If James and I are going to talk, it should be based upon Scripture. These are the things that are the meat of the word. It's what surrounds our lives. That's the spiritual man. Do you lean to the Bible? Do you find yourself leaning on the Bible more and more? You are a spiritual man or woman. But are you being led by your emotions? You know Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but your emotions dictate your life. More on that in a moment. But the diet is not very good that the person's consuming. In a nutshell, not much Bible time. A lot of news time, a lot of Oprah time, a lot of sitcom time, a lot of radio time, no Bible time. The Bible said, Paul is telling us in these words, that we are in fact carnal. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, this is a great word, it sounds so nice, laying aside malice. He says, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, laying it aside. The word means to throw it away from you. You ever seen somebody driving down? This drives me crazy. You ever been driving down the highway and somebody throws trash out their car? Does that drive you crazy or is it me? Oh, I want to be a police officer so bad at that moment. And I have my James Bond pictures in my mind of my grill of my car opening up and machine gun fire coming out of the grill because the guy throws his Burger King bag out the window. Oh! But in a spiritual way, that's what that word means. Take the junk and throw it out. As Christians, that's how the spiritual man walks, grabbing the junk that we assimilate in this life and we throw it out. Get rid of it. He says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Isn't that a great word? When a baby's born and we got a brand new granddaughter, what does she want? She wants milk. And if you don't keep feeding that child in the levels of its growth, they will become anemic. They will have bad bone development. Their eyesight will not improve. You will starve this child in a lot of ways. The same is true about spiritual things. Have you been a Christian for 10 years, but you still drinking milk? I got news for you. You have spiritual bone decay. You have atrophy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study called Christians Behaving Badly, it's a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul gets pretty specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart from the rest of the world. Christians Behaving Badly, it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online and listen to today's edition of Real Radio, as well as past programs. You can also subscribe to podcasts of Real Radio while you're at our website. Just visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. It's real easy. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.